morning once again, everybody. This morning I want to talk about... I feel comfortable holding it. Sorry. The topic that I want to speak about on today is regards to what seems like a divine help wanted ad from the Lord. Luke 10:2 reads, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few." So, by way of introduction, fellow believers, Jesus was asked by a Pharisee, which is the greatest commandment of the law? Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Believers, yes, our love for the Lord is first and foremost. But because of our love for God, our love for fellow men should not diminish. Jesus is urging us to measure our love for others as we do ourselves. The Apostle Paul spoke about his motive to serve the Lord. He said, "For the love of Christ compels us." Search your heart. Does it compel you? Because if you truly are a new creation in Christ, then the things of God, you will love the things that God loves and hates the things that God hates. Your desires should be like the Lord's, that all men come to the knowledge of truth and be saved. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loves the world that he now sends you out as his messengers to speak about his Son, to proclaim the gospel." The late Charlie Kirk said, "It is our job to fill the kingdom." But how can I? Romans 10:14, "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" This verse highlights the necessity for a preacher, for a messenger, for someone to share the gospel. Charles Spurgeon said, "Soul winning is the chief business of the Christian. It should be the main pursuit of every true believer." And Jesus gave us the mission statement. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Jesus said, "Go." He's not suggesting it. He's not recommending it. He has commanded it. The mission for the church is clear. Go. There's a good acronym for the word gospel. It reads, "God offers sinful people eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, hell apart from God. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. For he is the one and only Savior of the world. For he shed his spotless blood on the cross to pay for your sins and my sins. He died and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. He took on flesh. He took my place. He took your place. He took the wrath of God that I deserve, that we deserve for our wretched sins. So that I, or any who trust and believe in him, would be made righteous in the eyes of God." 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." This is the great exchange. God treated Jesus, his holy Son on the cross, as if he lived your sinless life, your sinful life, excuse me. And he treats you as a believer as you live Jesus' sinless life. This sums up God's plan for salvation. The Father accepted Jesus' sacrificial offering, and because he lives and was risen bodily, believers have a place reserved in heaven. The context of this sermon text is about Jesus sending out 70 disciples two by two on an evangelism mission. But before Jesus got to that number, I'm sure there were many more disciples following Jesus, but have walked away from him. Because in the previous chapter, other believers who were self-proclaiming followers of Christ procrastinated about going, following him. Friend, there's one thing that we have all fallen into at times that can be very detrimental. It's a state of being complacent. Complacent behavior doesn't serve well in your personal life, your personal growth, your relationships, and it doesn't serve well when you're trying to serve the Lord. Being a part-time lover of God is equivalent to becoming a half-hearted follower. In Luke 9, 57 through 62 reads, "Now what happened as he journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell, so who are at my house.' And Jesus said to him, 'Knowing, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" The problem wasn't Jesus. The problem was him not being compassionate towards these people, because he is. But the issue is that they wanted to wait a couple years before serving the Lord. Now, the person's father wasn't on his deathbed, but the person wanted to stick around a few years to collect the inheritance. Why is there so many excuses getting in the way, especially when it comes to sharing the gospel? Waiting for the perfect time or situation to do something is only a hindrance. It basically shows that you're not trusting in the Lord. Remember, believers, you are God's chosen instruments. You are his messengers to reach the lost. God uses his church now to build the church, to expand the church. So why is sharing the gospel so low on the priority list when it's a command from the Lord? But even one of the greatest leaders in the Bible started making excuses to not speak on God's behalf because he was complacent in his ability not to. Let me take you to the book of Exodus, when God from the burning bush commanded Moses to speak to Pharaoh. He said, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, and therefore I will send you to the Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" So Moses questions God's decision to send him. Who am I? Do you ask that same question to yourself? "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." In the next chapter, Moses mentioned, "Suppose they don't listen to me or believe me." Again, friends, the power is in the word of God. Hebrews 4:12, "The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You are equipped with the Holy Spirit. It is not in your ability to convey the word. Moses tried this as well. He said, "O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be your mouth and teach you what to say." Friends, the world is your mission field. The harvest truly is great. The Lord is with you. Plant the seed and leave the results up to the Lord. It's his work in the hearer. He brings the dead to life, not you, not our clever human tactics. So Jesus said to the 70, "Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among the wolves." The wolves represent the world, which is full of oppression and opposition. We are the lambs. We bring peace. We bring hope. But our reliance needs to be on the Lord. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our shepherd. The devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour through false teachers, worldly wisdom, deceptive influences. However, believer, even though we are described as sheep, we need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Be vigilant, be discerning, and situational awareness, but also be kind and take the high road to avoid any potential conflicts. Remember, we are sharing a message of hope. We are not trying to win arguments, but win souls. The message is clear. And set forth from the Lord, soul winning, fill the kingdom. He says, carry neither money bag, knapsack, or sandals, and greet no one along the road. Jesus was basically telling the 70 disciples to avoid the distractions. The kingdom is at hand. For each person, now is the day of salvation. Keep the most important issue, the main issue. As for believers witnessing today, bring your Bibles. Bring the tracts. You know, for people to read so they can have something to hold when they're alone. But that's it. You know, you don't really need to bring anything else. Hot day, bring water bottles. Again, we got to keep the main issue the main issue. When you're going out there, don't wear sports memorabilia. Don't bring a dog. You know, these are all things that I've learned not to do, because the world will continue to try to pull you away from your main message of sharing the gospel. Let's not talk about the Yankees. So avoid any unnecessary distractions. Jesus also speaks on social fellowship. Remember, we are no better than anyone else. We are all sinners in need of a Savior, regardless how we sin. Nobody likes to be looked down on. That's why sharing the gospel is so important and useful for everybody. It's important for everybody. No one is excluded. Even those of other faiths, our mission is to lead them to the true and living God. James 3:18. Now the fruits of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And Jesus concludes on the fate of those who reject the message. He said, he who hears you hears me. And he who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Believe me, there will be times where you may think to yourself, I wish I would have said this or done that. But the truth is, God used you to knock on the door of their heart. If it didn't open, it's on them, not you. Everyone is different. For some people need to hear the gospel many times for the door of their heart to open. And guess what? Most of the time, you won't even know if they are truly saved or if they received the gospel anyway, unless they're your family and friends. So brothers and sisters, friends, make yourself available. Serve the Lord and have an attitude like the prophet Isaiah. Here am I, send me. The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you for the opportunity to serve you, to be a part of this fantastic opportunity to be vessels of mercies sent out into this lost and dying world to lead lost souls back to you. I pray through the Holy Spirit that you embolden all of us to leave behind the excuses and better serve your will in the Great Commission. For we rejoice in your salvation work. We rejoice in your Son, our Savior Jesus, whom through without him none of this would be possible. For Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In his precious name I pray. Amen.